Hi there! Welcome to Textures, a podcast about art, design, and entrepreneurship. My name is Valérie Legras. In each episode, I meet with an artist, designer, creator, innovator, individuals who add textures to our world. We discuss how they are able to make it happen. Join me in discovering their world, their work, and how they go about living and leading a life that inspires themselves and others. Today, I have a great pleasure to host Leslie Sinclair. Leslie is the owner and creator of Segredo Finishes, a Houston-based company dedicated to exceptional finishes in the world of architecture and interior design. Leslie's career started in a totally different environment. After graduating from business school, Leslie worked in large corporations for years until her passion for finishing furniture and walls led her to quit her job and embark on a new journey. 25 years ago, Segredo Finishes was born. In this episode, you're going to hear Leslie talk about how she turned her creative passion into a successful business. With a team of 40 artisans, Segredo Finishes collaborate all over the country with the best in the world of architecture and interior design. Leslie and her team constantly seek to further push the creative boundaries and deliver stunning results. From wall to ceiling, to product design, furnitures, cabinetries, and countertop. Segredo Finishes finds its root into ancestral techniques and revisits it to bring it to another dimension, for traditional to contemporary design. The level of creativity and quality is, in my opinion, exceptional. Leslie loves challenges, and she delivers. One of her secrets is to constantly attain a higher level of excellence and in what she's doing. She reads a lot, explores, and experiences. Leslie is relentless. She lives her life and her business with passion. Welcome to Leslie Sinclair.
Hi, Leslie. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today and, you know, being on Texture Podcast.
I am so excited about it, Valérie. I can't even believe you thought of me. So I can't wait to get to know you and your readers better and share what I know.
I'm very happy. So, Leslie, you are in Houston right now. You are in Texas. I think this is your born bear. And you spent a good part of your life there.
I did.
And you did.
Well, my husband always, because people always say, where are you from? And I was born in Germany and did travel when I was young with my dad's career, but feel like Griffin, Georgia is my home. And my husband's like, you've been in Houston since you were 12. I think you're a Houstonian.
Well, and I would say, you must be the most European Houstonian I know, because all the work you're doing is very much like Italian design or French design. So you must be the most European Houstonian I know. So Leslie, what was you started your career in a very, very different way than where you are today. So what was your dream as a little girl? How did you see your life unfolding? What was your dream life?
Well, I grew up in the restaurant business. My parents had 5 restaurants, and I grew up waiting tables, working with people, serving people. And honestly, I thought I would take over the family business. But my parents separated. We moved back to my home state of Texas. And so that kind of changed things. But I think what I learned from that is I love meeting people, serving people, giving them great experiences. So I just wanted to find something with my passion that I would be able to do that.
So what was your passion? How did you find your passion as a child or as a teenager or as a young adult?
It was kind of, my parents were always, you know, you can do whatever you want in this world, but the key to it is to do the very best at whatever you're doing at the time and learn as much as you can. So I still, probably my biggest passion is learning. And as a child, I was brought with a lot of different experiences and I honestly thought, you know, my mom drilled in my head, business, 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 so you can support yourself. But looking back as a child, I built forts, but I built them, painted them, made furniture for them, and decorated them. I played Barbies, but of course it wasn't, hi, how are you? You know, like my kids did with the Barbies. It was, I built homes, built furniture, made drapes, you know, and painted them. And I loved writing when I was young. I wrote a lot of books and illustrated them. So I think for me, that was never a career, but looking back, it's my passion from the time I was tiny.
And so you didn't want it to embrace like graphic design or interior design, but it didn't hit your brain, I would say. You didn't think about it at that time.
I really didn't think about it till my mid-30s. I didn't consider it being an option.
So what was the switch? What was the click, the trigger?
I think it was in my corporate career, and I did a lot of consulting. I always did side businesses. Like, even though I had a full-time job, I also painted. I had a line of maternity clothes and like matching mommy-daughter clothes.
That's nice.
I did that on the side. I had home shows. I did floral arrangement. I painted art. So that was always like my passion, what I love to do. And when I got in my 30s, I had three children, and I was like, I want to do what I love to do. So I sat down and honestly just made a list. People was at the head of the list. I love art. I love design. I loved architecture. I like creating. I like learning. And I started doing all this research on decorative painting, faux finishing, that kind of thing. And like at my house, I would just play around with it. And my husband used to joke. He goes, Leslie, you need to like make this a career, because there was one room in my house that I painted over and over and over. Like every week it would be something different. And he said, our house isn't big enough to accept all these layers of paint. It's getting pretty small. So, you know, you need to do something about it. So he was super supportive. And the paint store, I used to go to a Benjamin Moore dealer and show him what I was doing and ask questions. And he said, Leslie, your stuff is better than most professionals. You should consider making it a career. So although my mother, who paid for my college education, was a little disappointed that I was quitting and starting something where I could wear no makeup, jeans, and work with my hands, you know, overall, they've been very supportive, and she's proud now. It took her a while, but she's come around.
Oh, that's good. That's a good story. So you went to college for business. You did the full business school experience, and then you work in corporate. So it was about what, 4 or 5 years you worked in corporate?
Actually, it was about 12 years.
Oh, 12 years.
That I worked in corporate. And when I started having children, the firm I worked for hired me as being a consultant because I didn't want to work as many hours. But for me, creativity is creativity, whether it's business or whatever you do. And what I found is I always come up with ideas and they go, that's a good idea. Let's like put it up the corporate flagpole. And by the time they'd have an answer, it was 6 months later and I had 6 other ideas. So, and having my own company, I could try things. And if it failed, great. I learned from it. You know, if it worked, I would continue on that path.
Yeah, that's awesome, because you have two brands. You have a creative brand and a business brand, and this is kind of rare. A lot of people are one or the other. So it's definitely a great asset. And so you're really self-taught. Or did you have any mentors that help you, you know, improve your skills or open doors that you would have never think about? How did you evolve in your career, in your creative career?
Yeah. I think one part, and people I think need to express them more in this, I liked experimenting and doing my own finishes, and I didn't like too much training in the decorative arts, in that it kind of puts you in a box. So having some knowledge, but also experimenting on your own, we came up with so many new techniques that maybe are different from everyone else's. So that for me is super fun, trying to figure it out. But I do have a mentor who I call my guardian angel, and it was about 12 or 15 years into after I started Segretto, and I went to a house which was a pretty large home, and their philosophy was we want it to feel like we have two old Tuscan farmhouses that we've joined together and modernized. So everything in it is more contemporary furnishings and cabinetry, but the shell of the house really needs to feel authentically old. So I got the contract based on faux finishing, and I said, it just doesn't sit well with me because faux finishing, although it's beautiful, means fake. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to create this really authentic, you know, warm environment. So Google is my friend. I researched all sorts of things. I did take trips to different parts of the country to see things in person. And that's when plaster came to my mind. And I loved the old school plaster, but it was super expensive to established because you have to do that scratch coat, brown coat, and finish coat, which is probably, I don't know, maybe 20 times, I'm probably wrong, but more expensive than a sheetrock type house.
Yeah.
So I wanted to figure out how to get that same look over sheetrock. So anyway, I met Marion Saylors, who is an old school plasterer. He ran Dorner Plastering in Houston, and he was mesmerized by my take on tinting the finished product of that, and I was mesmerized by his knowledge. And I think together, he helped me create a business where we could take an old school plaster and bond it directly over sheetrock. So it really was a game changer and my business and what I could offer to clients.
Yeah, because when you started, so if we go back to the beginning, so if you, I guess you were working on faux finish on walls, cabinetry, floor, and you know, furniture, I guess, and then the yeah. plaster all of a sudden brought you to far bigger dimension.
Yes. It was something like people did Venetian plasters, but this is different than that. And it was something kind of that people weren't aware of. It was a new thing, a new look.
Mm-hmm. And so today, which I was really, really impressed, is you're doing, you plaster showers, which is yes. amazing to me. And the look is absolutely astonishing. This is very sleek, very, very pure. And how do you work on, I never heard about that. I never heard about a plaster being, you know, sealed or waterproof. Was it something new in your experimentation? Is that something that you work with a designer? Is that something you work with a contractor? Or how did you appear to create this product?
I think, and there have been plasters, like for example, in Egypt, you know, most of the showers, tubs, a lot of the wet areas are plaster, and it's a plaster called Tadalac. They weren't doing it as much in the United States, but I was really intrigued by it. It has been, I mean, I'm the kind of, I think I want people to love their products forever. And what we were finding is some things on the specs would say, this works, this holds up. But what does holding up mean? So we have done a lot of research to perfect our technique where it's not only beautiful now, but maintained properly, it can stay beautiful. So that's probably where the challenge is. And we're constantly trying to improve the process because so many products don't last.
Yes. Yeah. And that's definitely something that is, you know, it's very important in our industry. Is having something we can rely on and guarantee the client, but it's not going to be over in 6 months or a year or 2 years from now. So basically, right. if we look at the product you're creating, and you have creating a lot, you have the Segretto plaster, the Segretto stone, the Segretto paint, and you know all these elements. So you test out in your house first, let's say, for example, the shower. Did you try out in your house, or do you, how do you know that it's going to work and last? What is the creative process and feeling comfortable to bring it to designer or your clients?
Most things I do test out in my house first, because I feel like if I live with it, I can share with people the pros and cons, because I think as long as people know the pros and the cons and what they will have to do to keep it beautiful, then they can make their own decisions. The first shower we did actually was not in my own home. We had done a couple of them. We did a renovation here about 8 years ago, and we did put in a plaster shower, and I honestly love it. And the reason is so much what I do is to try to make people feel happy and warm and comfortable in their own home, give them an experience, because I think life is so much about that. So what I love is every day when I take a shower, and I'm a shower, not a bath gal, the Tadillac plaster almost feels like clouds going above you. It has subtle shades that get darker and lighter as moisture gets into it. Mm-hmm. And then as it dries out, it kind of does the reverse. So it gives me this zen place to start my day and to end my day. And it's amazing. It's something about the naturalness and the softness of the product that honestly makes you feel different.
It's a living material, based on what you're saying. It's definitely, yeah. All right, so what is plaster exactly? PCs?
And so many people, most people call plaster Venetian plaster, but yes, there are thousands of different plasters. And what we try to be is knowledgeable on all of them, knowledgeable on what they do, what their qualities are. So if you come in and talk to us, it's not, these are the three products, pick A, B, and C. We spend a lot of time with our clients. How do you want your house to flow? How do you live in your house? What feeling do you want it to have? What maintenance do you want to do? Are you no maintenance? You don't mind maintenance? Do you have kids, animals? And then we pick that perfect product for what you want in your home. We do use all natural products. I feel like living, breathing, there's something different from a Formica, although it has its use, and something natural. Mm-hmm.
And so you also developed something very, very interesting that is the Segredo stone, if you don't mind speaking about that. You did beautiful countertops with it. I saw them, and it's really, really unique.
Thank you. I think that's been one of those happy kind of accidents, not something we set out to do. My daughter, who used to work for an interior designer for 4 years, has worked for Segredo for 5 years. And when she first started, she said, I love what I do because I see so many different design styles, and it's really great to be able to provide backdrops for so many different styles. But what I really miss is furniture design. And I said, Kirby, as long as it has to do with our business, because I am always branching out in things that I think would be exciting to do, you know, let's go for it. And she said, I'd like to develop a plaster furniture line. And about 10 years ago, we were developing products for countertops that we thought would be durable, give people a different look. And we kind of put it on the back burner because other things got busy. So we brought that out, and she and my operations manager worked together creatively to harden the product, make it go over different surfaces. So with this product, we do sculptures, we do furniture, countertops, sinks, we're even doing doors out of it, fireplace mantles. And the beauty of it is it's natural, it's quiet, it's soft. It kind of bridges the gap between contemporary or old world or traditional. And people, I think, are kind of tired of everything being busy. You know, you have to have places for your eyes to rest. So this sculptural product has really, like, at first people were like, we want it for our counters. And I just said no for a while. And then finally I said yes.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't crack or nothing. I mean, it's just like, you don't have to do any seams. It's just like, it's like a big stone.
the beauty of it is the first island we did was 20 feet by 10 feet. Mm-hmm. So it was stunning. It is not indestructible. It is more durable than marble or concrete. It could have hairline cracks over time.
It's a living material, so it's part of it, I guess. This is part of the way it's going to edge and edge nicely, no?
Yeah, and in my opinion, that gives it more character out of over time. So it does change over time. The key is maintaining it properly with all natural materials. You don't want to put Clorox, just like you don't on natural stone. It will edge the stone. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I've seen, you're mentioning your daughter, Kirby, designing furniture. You can indeed do any shapes. I've seen some very curved little bench that you did, or also console. And it's something you can basically not do in a regular material because or natural stone. I mean, you could do in a natural stone, but it would cost like, it would be so hard to fabricate. And so your secret about doing the Sagrado stone on it just give a very, very, it gives you a designer a lot of freedom in their creativity.
It does. And although, our goal one day is to have, certain products that we, sell nationally, but we're so busy creating custom one-of-a-kind products because it does have so many options that we haven't had time to do that. But we can do fluted bases. We can do rough edges, fluted edges. We're doing for an ultra-contemporary house right now a fluted fireplace in blush pink.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And Houston is a great city I know you travel everywhere in the country, but Houston is, I believe it's a very, very, it's growing so fast. I believe this is the fourth largest city of the US now. And it's close from us. And when I go there, I see some beautiful contemporary houses. And I love that. I mean, I'm attracted by the contemporary world. And you have definitely great options for architect and designer to work with you. This is really, really great. Leslie, so we're talking about all these beautiful products and all the line you developed. You also developed the Pent, Sagrado Pent. What was the purpose of creating your own Pent line, knowing that there is a lot of, Pent option in this world? So what was the purpose for you to have your own line, maybe matching what you already have in your other lines? I mean, just trying to understand the lines you have.
Well, what I used to always get is plaster has such a warmth and depth and just beautiful tones. And people always wanted to, like a lot of times we don't plaster the whole house, or they want the baseboards to blend into the plaster so they don't stand out. And I would spend so much time hand mixing colors for people, taking it to a paint store, having them try to match it. It didn't match, going back 5-10 times, and then giving the client that paint, for Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore to make it. And they do have some beautiful colors, but it was just time after time, it wasn't the perfect color. And I'm so color sensitive. For me, if you walk in a house and all the colors marry gently together, there's a coordination, it's just a different feel. There's nothing like it. So I wanted to provide, and I also had people from all over the country saying, we can't plaster, it's not in our budget, but we want those beautiful colors. So really it was a service to the clients, giving them that perfect tone. And it has been so much fun. I mean, I felt like a chemist in a lab with all my paints, mixing all these beautiful colors. So, for me, it's a joy, and it still is.
Yeah. We didn't talk about something, Leslie, that I saw in your showroom, all the three-dimensional elements that you put on the wall. I don't know how to explain that verbally. But, the little flower or the little curve that are just three-dimensional. Can you try to explain that you know, how
I think, and this goes back to me, I love, like in my new book, Segredo Impressions, I have a whole section on my journey to create. And for me, I think your imagination is your only limit, and also maybe your personal skill. So I honestly feel like my gifts are to hire people that are better than myself. So I have like this amazing toolkit when I'm dealing with clients. I've always been totally mesmerized by the raised plaster that people do on walls. And I hired someone actually from Cuba who did a lot of the castings and monuments on government buildings where they're embedded into like the brick or the old stone. So the way that we do them is we come up with a design and he will hand mold everything out of clay. And then we make a mold from it and then pour plaster in it over and over and over until you come up with this large, like the floral one you were saying. We had thousands of florals. And our first installation was on a ceiling. It was 12 foot in diameter. And each individual floral leaf and twig is hand applied on the ceiling. And so now we've done other designs, pretty much what anyone comes up with. Like we have a client that wants a real Zen thing, and we're working on a design for a designer here where it's lotus flowers that are embedded in the backsplash behind her stove.
So I'm sorry, what push, I'm just jumping on what you were saying. When you work with designers, when you work with designer, is that the way for you to really, do they help you to push really the creativity and push the boundaries? Or is that something that you do on your own and you like to just challenge yourself and just find for new ideas?
I learn something every single day from my clients. And that is probably, you know, my most favorite part. And I am so fortunate to work with so many amazing architects, builders, and designers. And they'll come to me with a concept and say, how can you make this happen? So they do push me. And my staff sometimes say, why do you say we can do anything? Because I'll go, I don't know how to do that, but we can figure it out, you know? And that part is so much fun. And it also opens new doors every day. Like, wow, when if you put this twist on that, or when if you change this or use that product. But I get a lot of amazing inspiration and ideas with the people I work with.
So to implement all these great ideas, you have an amazing staff. I believe you have about 40 artisans working with you.
Yes.
They are your family. I know you mentioned, you talk about them as the big, you know, Segredo family. And I can relate to that. I'm from a family business. We are a family business owner, and we celebrated the 101 year of a family business in France. So I really understand the dimension of having this, being so close from your employee. But how did you find them? How did you train them? Your skills are so unique, and your what you propose is so different. Do you train them internally? Do you, I guess you don't have a big turnover. I guess people are staying there for, and learn from you and learn from one another. If you can, you know, talk about your amazing staff.
I think, and I would be nothing without my amazing staff. So they're really the ones that deserve all the credit. When I first started, how to hire people. My main thing is this someone that I would invite to my house for dinner and that I would have be around my children and take care of my children? Because I feel like if they have those qualities, they care about things, they care about people, they care about their work and what they do, I can train them to do just about anything. So I think we started in that direction. Since, I have hired people that have amazing skills that help train the rest of the staff, but we all learned from each other. And I think the most important thing is who you are as a person and how you care about what you do and the people you do it for.
Yeah. And so your staff is, you and your staff actually are doing works all over the country. So explain me, how do we work with Segredo Finish if we live very far away from Houston and we want to do a countertop or we want to do a shower? So you have, you cannot sell your product. You need the skills, of course. So I guess you travel on site and you stay on site to implement your work. Is that how it works?
Yes. And some things, eventually, we do want to develop a training program where we can train other artisans in different parts of the country to be able to install our products. So that's something we are working on, but we're just not there yet. So I help, I'm as helpful as I can to anyone that asks. Of course, what's difficult is if you hire us, there are trip charges versus if you're down the street.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
So but
You know, tell me about the name of your business. So Segredo, what it's coming from?
Segredo means secret in Italian, and it was named after my husband's family. When he was 12, they changed his name to Sinclair to make him more American. So it was an honor to them. I thought it was a beautiful name. And unfortunately, when his dad made that decision, he was the only son with sons. The name was lost.
Oh.
So anyway, it's a way to bring it back.
Yes. And so it's interesting because you mentioned your book. You wrote about 4 books, correct? Tell me if I'm wrong. And you also have a very active blog. I mean, you have a huge community. And every Monday morning, I open my computer. And every Monday morning, I have my blog from you, Leslie, which is really, really exciting. And so this is interesting because your company name is about secret. And basically, you are very open to, you open your secrets to the rest of the world, writing incredible books, writing incredible blog posts. And I thought it was very charming to have this name and being able to still share your secret.
I mean, I always feel like it's so funny. People are like, don't, I feel like that's part of a great part of life, sharing ideas. And sharing ideas and getting ideas from people, for me, is so much fun. I mean, I get inspiration from so many others. I hope that I can give a little inspiration and give back.
No, you definitely give a lot of inspiration. Definitely. Leslie, I want to ask you something. Most of the creative people struggle with business, the business side of life. And it's very rare to have people who enjoy both of it. And it looks like to me that you, as we said, you have a creative brand, but you also have a business brand. So what your business experience from the past brings you today, or how did it help you when you started your business? Because I know this is a struggle for a lot of creative minds to just go in business and just thrive. Because we don't like, you know, people don't like to deal with the economic, you know, the accounting part of hiring people or, you know, all this business part is a struggle for a lot of creative people.
I think that my past career definitely helped me, and having that background made it easier for me. I think the starting Segredo, the first thing that helped me get continued business is I was always on time. I always did what I said I was going to do better than I promised the person. And I would do whatever it takes to make that happen. So I think setting a schedule and making sure you keep charge of that and doing what you said is just, it puts you above of someone else. You know, because so many people don't do that.
Yeah, that's important. What is your daily routine? You don't have a routine, or you do? You are the type of person who has a routine.
I get up every morning and am at my home office by about 5. Mm-hmm. And I do, you know, estimating, billing, human resource things, write procedures, do all that before my job starts at 9. You know, and then during the day, I'm with customers most of the day. I make sure I'm in the office an hour or two every day to answer questions of anyone. So I do have a routine. And then at the end of the day, I'm super big on responding to everyone, hopefully within 3 hours, but at least within 24 hours. So customer interaction and follow-up is like my biggest pet peeve that, you know, if it doesn't get done. I heard that you said that you had a family business that was going, just celebrated their 100-year anniversary.
Yes, in 2019.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that is so amazing. And it really means something to me because I do so much reading with business books. And there's one that stands out to me. It's called Good to Great by James Collins. And it speaks about all these businesses that have survived generations. And the only way you can be a great company is to make your business be able to run without you and survive the generations. And it does all these case studies on 50-year companies and 100-year companies. And honestly, that's one of my biggest goals business-wise, is to be able to train my staff and empower them to be able to have the confidence to take over and do great things on their own.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you have any other books you want to share with us? Because I think it's, I'm a big reader too, so I would love to have more advice.
I mean, two that I think really made an impact on me are Start With Why, and it's by Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. And it really talks about, you're not selling products and services, you're selling reasons. And it really digs down on you on why you're on business and why you're trying to do what you do. And then it talks about developing your whole business strategy around that. Another one is It's Not What You Sell, But What You Stand For. It's by Roy Spence Jr. And it also talks about developing a mission statement and doing everything you do and having your staff abide by that mission, what you're trying to do for your clients. But those three books have really inspired me to be a better business person.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome. Share some with me. I love to read.
Well, yeah, I will. I mean, one that inspires me a lot, but I don't think it's in English. I mean, it was, you know, I was born and raised in Champagne, and it's Le Quart d'heure d'avance de Moët et Chandon. So basically, it's the whole story about how Moët, you know, the Champagne Moët and Chandon has been founded. And I was reading it, and I told my family, I said, this is a book that should go into any business student hands. Because it has so much, I think it was founded, Moët and Chandon was founded before the war, and it's a long story and how it really, really grew into an incredible business. But the origin of this incredible company is very interesting, and there is one man behind, which is the name is Robert Jean de Vogüé. And he was grounded, and all these people didn't go to business school. All these people had a passion, know how to respect their team, know how to respect the customer, the people they're working with. And it is just fascinating. And to me, that was one of the best business lessons that I received in a long time. And it's, you know, was written about a story that started 100 years ago. And it's still very accurate for today's world. And I thought it was fascinating, but I don't think it does exist in English.
But you know what? Now mm-hmm. with Google Translate, yes. And I have to do that a lot with my staff who are all not English as a first language. It's amazing how good it is. So I am going to pull up Google Translate yes. and get the book.
I will give you the name, but it's really interesting to see also how this type of company went through the war, you know, that they were doing their own resistance against the German, how they were hiding bottle of champagne on the ground and things. I mean, it's, the whole thing is very, very fascinating. So,
and you know how that also relates to today's world. I think with everything that's happening with the pandemic, all businesses, including my own, are having to learn different ways to adapt to a new way of doing things. So that book could be very inspiring.
It is. I mean, to me, that was one of the books that I read that really had an impact on me. So, yeah, I will definitely share with you.
Thank you.
If I say it in French here, you might have a hard time to take notes. So I'm going to put it on the episode note.
That sounds perfect. Thank you.
All right, Leslie. Well, thank you so much. You know, it was very, very interesting. I really wanted to share your story and your work, because I think it's very, very, very different, and it's endless what we can do with your team, your product, and your creativity. So I think it's important that a lot of people knows about it.
Well, and I think it's always fun talking to you, and I can't wait till you come back to Houston and see me in person or vice versa.
Yes, it's been too long. Like, we're locked up right now, but hopefully things will settle. Yeah.
Hopefully this won't be forever. I know the whole country feels that way.
Yes.
But I think the key for me is find something you're passionate about, because then it's not like work. I mean, I feel like I go to work every day and play. Every day's different. Every client's different. And that is, I think I'm so lucky that I kind of stumbled into something like that.
Yeah, I cannot agree more. This is so important. And I think as a mother, this is what I really want to teach my children: go for what makes you vibrate, you know, because otherwise you're going to have a boring life and you don't want that.
You're a good mom, I can tell.
Thank you, Leslie. Okay. Well, thank you so much again for being on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
It was such a pleasure speaking with Leslie Sinclair. I hope you enjoy listening to it. Her creativity and entrepreneurial spirit is such an inspiration. If you would like to learn more about Leslie Sinclair and Segredo Finishes, visit the website at segredofinishes.com. Once on the website, you can subscribe to the weekly blog. I personally love receiving it every Monday morning. As mentioned in the episode, Leslie also wrote several books. I will put the links in the episode notes. You can also continue to follow her journey on Instagram at Segredo Finishes. All the books mentioned during the discussion will be added to the episode notes. This podcast is an ongoing creative conversation for anyone who looks around and sees the added texture in their world and wants to know more about who is doing it. Be sure to share texture with your friends and community. Find your preferred listening platform at valerielegras.com/podcast or just listen to us on Spotify. Thank you for listening. À bientôt.